Hello, Tom Castaldi here, and we're ready to take an audio walk through the Fort Wayne region's history. The Heritage Trail recalls the American forts at the Three Rivers that came under attack only once during the nearly 25 years they guarded United States interests in the midst of Indian territory. However, the siege endured at the outbreak of the War of 1812 was nearly disastrous for Fort Wayne due to a drunken commander. The Battle of Tippecanoe in 1811 unleashed renewed hostilities between the Indians and the Americans throughout the Midwestern frontier, and pioneer homesteads and Indian villages alike suffered raids and murders. The Americans were dealt an early defeat in 1812 when William Wells' expedition to relieve the garrison of Fort Dearborn on the Chicago River was destroyed by the Pottawatomie. General William Hull then meekly surrendered the U.S. forces to the British at Fort Detroit, and this gave the signal to the Indian forces throughout the frontier to rise up against the other American forts. Fort Wayne was a fort the Indians attempted to take, and late that summer, about 500 Pottawatomie and Ottawa warriors began to gather in the surrounding forests. Matea, a friendly Pottawatomie chief, warned the French trader Antoine Bondy of the attack plans, and Bondy, with another French trader, Charles Pelletier, took this information to the Indian agent in the fort, Benjamin Stickney, and to the post's commandant, Captain James Ray. At first, the two leaders of the fort did not believe the French traders, thinking them unreliable and prone to lying. But Stickney soon became suspicious and sent messages to General William Henry Harrison in Cincinnati. Captain Ray, too, worried about the large number of Indians gathering near the fort and then began to drink to excess, becoming incapable of handling his duties. Stephen Johnston, the Piqua Indian agent's son, tried to escape the fort and get to his wife in Ohio. Johnston's scalped and tomahawk body was delivered the next day to the front gates. The fort garrison made ready for a siege. The Indians burned the cabins, outbuildings, and crops surrounding the fort. Attempts by Lieutenants Curtis and Ostrander to attack the Indians were rebuked by their drunken superior, who clearly feared the fight. Then one morning, a large party of warriors approached the fort under a white flag, asking to speak with the Indian agent Stickney and Captain Ray. Stickney suspected a trick and admitted only a few of the Indians in the party. Captain Ray was too drunk to attend. In the midst of the meeting, Chief Winnemac attempted to use his knife hidden in his robe, but quick action and the instant appearance of several soldiers ended the plot against Stickney. Several days later, the Indians again used a flag of truce to get into the fort, this time to meet alone with Captain Ray. The commandant shared his liquor with the chiefs and promised his support if the chiefs would save him. Five Indians who had come into the fort and had hidden behind one of the buildings shot two soldiers dead. After this, Captain Ray lost control of the garrison, and Lieutenant Ostrander and Lieutenant Curtis took command of the fort. In the meantime, the constant exchange of gunfire rattled the garrison every day, and the commanding officer continued to drink and talk of surrender. Finally, General Harrison, with 2,500 men, marched on Fort Wayne. The Indians tried to attack Harrison's troops in the swamps to the east along the Wayne Trace, hoping to draw the garrison out, but to no avail. On September 12th, the siege was at last lifted when Harrison's men arrived at the gates of Fort Wayne. Captain Ray was relieved of his authority, and Lieutenant Ostrander was placed in command of the fort. Harrison's force left Fort Wayne a week later to pursue the British and the Indians to Detroit, and eventually to the climactic battle in Ontario at the River Thames in 1813. This is Tom Castaldi, and we look forward to being with you next time on the Heritage Trail.